about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
Another week is here, and therefore, we get another week of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. I am your gracious host. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me this week. Now, this week's show, it is a listener-derived show. I asked everybody last week, hey, I'm running on a short week. Send me your show ideas, and you guys did. So most everything you hear on the show this week will be coming from you, my listeners. And let's keep that trend going. If you have something on this show that you want to talk about, contact me. Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you want to hear on the show, and we'll talk about it. This show this week is because of you, my listeners. I couldn't have done it without you. I appreciate every one of you. I will give everybody their due props when their story is up, and we'll go from there. So I want to talk before we start. I normally don't swear on this show, and I don't try to. I try to make it a family-friendly show for the most part. I understand the topics and the politics and the supernatural may not be family-friendly, but it's something that you're not going to be ashamed to listen to in front of your kids. But there are some things that just send me over the top. And one of those things is messing with defenseless kids. In this story, this is not from any listener. This is my story that I want to tell you about that I came across, and it just absolutely infuriates me. So right now in this country, we all understand that Black Lives Matter basically gets a free pass on anything. They can riot, they can protest, they can tear down statues, they can loot, they can break the law, they can block traffic. It doesn't matter because Black Lives Matter, okay? However, if you say anything other than Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, or you say, those aren't protesters, those are rioters, you all of a sudden become a racist. That is today's America. Well, in Ohio this past week, some absolute freaking idiot, his name is Isaiah Jackson, 20 years old, so old enough to know better, decided, you know what, I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to promote Black Lives Matter, and I'm going to post it on social media. So what does this idiot, what does this asshole do? He takes a two-year-old child, a defenseless two-year-old child, lays him on the ground, has another one of his cowardly piece-of-shit friends hold this two-year-old child's hands behind his back. Then he proceeds to kneel on this two-year-old white child's neck. And it gets better. They take a picture of it. So not only do you have this piece of shit kneeling on this defenseless two-year-old white child's neck while it's crying, this child is bawling, you can tell in the picture, you have his cowardly piece of shit friend holding this child's hands behind their back, and then on top of that, you have some idiot just... I want to use so many other words, and I'm not going to. You have this coward behind the camera lens taking a picture of it. So you have these two black guys assaulting a defenseless two-year-old white boy, one by kneeling on his neck and another one by holding him against his will. Then you have another person who I don't know what color they are. I don't know if they're male or female, but they're a piece of shit taking a picture of this as if this is the right thing to do. Now, me, if I'm in the room and I see this 20-year-old piece of shit kneeling on the neck of a 2-year-old who's bawling his poor little brains out because, A, he doesn't know what's going on, and, B, it probably freaking hurts, I wouldn't stand up for it. I wouldn't be taking a picture. I'd be knocking the shit out of this guy. This guy wouldn't be getting up till the next day. But they took the picture, and then they caption it, BLM now MF. Okay, what a great way to support BLM. Let's put our cause on social media around the world by assaulting a defenseless 2-year-old child. Now, this man has since been arrested, thankfully, and I'm going to ask anybody, and I believe it's Dayton, Ohio area, if there's anybody listening in the Dayton prison system or jail system where this guy's being held, or anybody listening knows anybody in the jail system in Dayton, Ohio, please do the country a favor and have this guy's ass beat to a bloody pulp. This piece of shit does not deserve the air he is breathing. How big of a loser do you have to be to sit there and think you're making a political statement by kneeling on a 2-year-old's neck? And whoever was in that room, shame on you, because you should have beat the loving God out of this piece of shit. I'm sorry, but when dealing with kids, kids are defenseless. Kids don't know, 2-year-old kids especially, don't know what's going on. So this kid is put on the ground. He's wearing a diaper. That's it. He has somebody hold his hands behind his back. So now he doesn't know what's going on. He's a little afraid. And then you had this 20-year-old piece of shit trying to make a political statement and kneeling on his neck. And then you had this piece of shit posting it, taking a picture and posting it. This guy needs to have the shit beat out of him beyond recognition. There is no reason for this. Now, let's ask this question, because I've asked this question numerous times. Where's Black Lives Matter in this? Why has Black Lives Matter not condoned this assault on a defenseless 2-year-old white child? And I don't care if it's a 2-year-old white child, a 2-year-old black child, Arab child, Indian child, Asian child, Hispanic child, Puerto Rican child, Canadian child. I don't care if it's an Eskimo child. The fact is, it's a child. Why is Black Lives Matter not coming out and saying, listen, this member does not stand for what we believe in? Black Lives Matter is silent. So that tells me they're all for this treatment. They're telling me that, well, because it's a white child, that white child is probably deserved it. It's a 2-year-old child. This right here should send shockwaves across the country that this is what Black Lives Matter is. Black Lives Matter, in theory, works. You know, I understand, not where I live, and I'm sure not where most of my listeners live, but in some places around this country, black lives are oppressed. Black lives are looked down upon. People are racist. That doesn't mean the whole freaking country's racist, but that is what is being told to everybody around the country by the mainstream media and the Democrats. Black lives matter to the Democrats. Black lives matter to the media. Unless you're a black child, and you're ready to be aborted, because black babies and black fetuses and full-term black babies, those lives don't matter. And you know why? Because the Democrats can't get your vote yet. That's why, oh, you can abort that black kid all you want. If you're going to keep them, well, we're going to raise them for you, and we're going to tell them how to vote. That's the Democrat way. That should open up every single eye here. If you are a black person, you should see that. Black lives do matter. By saying all lives matter does not make me a racist. What it means is I understand that black lives matter. But why are black lives put on a higher pedestal than my life, my family's life, my neighbor's life, my friend's life, nobody I know, somebody I don't know, their life matters to somebody. But no, in America today, the only thing that matters is blacks. And they want to call out racism. Racism, racism, racism. What do you think is going on in the country today? Unless you're black, you are being racially profiled. Simple as that. I called it. I'm going to tell you that's how it is right now. And I'm telling you, I'm not a racist person. I've told you many, many, many times, growing up in high school, I grew up and attended a predominantly white, upper middle class, suburban high school. We had students that were expelled from the city schools, which were predominantly black. They would send them to my school, Heritage High School. I was friends with them all. We enjoyed the same things. We listened to the same music. We dressed the same way. I have no problem with black people. But you know what? Because of how everything is going down now, I can't help but in the back of my mind look and say, I wonder if that black person hates me now. I never used to think that. But now I have to be on edge because the media and the Democrats have perpetuated a race-filled hatred for white people in this country. If you are white, you are looked down upon. You've had white privilege all your life. Bullshit. I do not have white privilege. I've worked my behind off. My family has worked their behind off for everything we've got. You all, trust me, you all have the same opportunities. And you can sit there and tell me, well, Tom, I grew up in the inner city. I didn't have that opportunity. Really? Look at Alan West. Look at all the successful black people in the world that grew up in the inner city. What, you know, want to know the biggest difference between you who are struggling and them who are doing well? Is they make good choices. They decided not to roll with gangs. They decided not to get into drugs. They decided not to hang out on the street corner and shoot people. They decided to get an education. They decided to go off to school. If you apply yourself in this country, it doesn't matter. You will succeed. Go to any other country on this planet and try to live better than you do in America. It won't happen. Yes, you may be poor by American standards. But you know what? Poor in America is you have a car. Poor in America is you have food to eat every day for the most part. Poor in America is you have a roof over your head. You can't say that about any other country in the world. Yes, you may not be as rich as the guy down the street, but you know what the difference is between you and the guy down the street? He applied himself. He worked for what he had. You can sit there and you can rip on capitalism all you want. Oh, it's all capitalism. All the top guys get all the money. The little guys don't get anything. Become a top guy. That's the difference between capitalism and socialism. Yes, the people on the top make more money. The people on the bottom make less. That's how it works in capitalism. But you know what? That's also how it works in socialism. With socialism, those at the top, those with the power get everything. Those on the bottom, they struggle. It's just like capitalism. But do you want to know the biggest difference between capitalism and socialism? In socialism, if you're on the bottom, you have no way to work yourself up. You will always be on the bottom because you will never get a chance to rise in the ranks. With capitalism, you may be on the bottom. I've been there. But you know what? If you work hard and do the right things, you can make something of yourself. I've been there. I've done it. We as a family struggled mightily for years. And I just put my nose to the grindstone. My wife was working two jobs. We decided we're not going to live like this anymore. We worked ourselves out of that hole. Not that we're rich by any way, shape, or form, but you know what? I have food. I have a home. I have cars that I can drive back and forth to work. That's all we need. But in socialism, you don't get that chance. And these idiots out there, Black Lives Matter, they are a Marxist organization right now. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. They want socialism in this country. Right now, Black Lives Matter would be at the top of the food chain. They would have all the power. You think that's going to last? Do you really think that's going to last? No. Trust me. For all of you who are all about Black Lives, for those of you who are Black Lives Matter supporters that are all about the movement, remember this. The Democrats will care two shits about you after the election season. The only reason Black Lives Matter right now is a thing is because the Democrats need your vote. They know that there is a historically large amount of black people that are going to vote for Trump. If the Democrats are going to have any shot of taking the White House, they know they need the black vote. So they are going to just do whatever they can to get that black vote. And it's working. I mean, they are getting people all riled up. Black Lives Matter. If you're white, you don't matter. They're doing a good job. But Black Lives Matter and black people and minorities in general, remember this. And you heard it here on the Paranormal Patriot. After November 3rd, the Democratic Party could give two shits about you. Simple, plain. All they care about is your vote, and they care about gaining power and retaining power. That's all they care about. You don't believe me? Let's see how things go November 4th. I guarantee you Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Jerry Nadler, oh, who else? Adam Schiff. They're not going to give two flying you-know-whats. They're going to be like, well, we either won the White House or, well, we didn't win the White House. It's time to impeach Trump again. That is what's going to happen. It happens every 4 years, people. How do you not see this? Every three years, because they do it a year ahead of time. So every 3 years, with a year leading up to the election, all of a sudden, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter because the Democrats are the party of the black people, which they're not. But they've been brainwashed to think that, well, I got to vote Democrat because they're giving me everything I need. They're giving me food stamps. They're giving me a basic living, not knowing that voting Republican will give you the opportunity to make a better living. But, you know, the media, yeah, well, they're not going to say that. Keep an eye out what happens November 4th and beyond, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's a cycle. I've seen it for years now. I can't believe more people haven't. If you're black, look back. Go back and think to yourself, when did I become important? It was the year before an election. I was the most important person on the world because I was black. And then after the election, whether the Democrats won or lost, well, you know, we'll get back to you. It's how it works every election cycle. I don't know if people will ever realize it, but you know what? I'm doing my job. I'm getting the point across to you. Whether or not you see it or want to see it, it's up to you. If you want to turn a blind eye to it and just think the Democrats are there for you every step of the way, that's fine. You know, if you want to lie to yourself, because you can't honestly say that they are. You really can't, because every cycle, 1 year before the election, all of a sudden they're all about you guys. They're all about the minorities. Minorities matter. And then after the election, what do they do? They don't do anything. They don't do anything to help you get out of your situation, because they don't want you to get out of your situation. They want you to stay in that situation, because if you're dependent on the Democrats for your very well way of life, well, that's a guaranteed vote next year or next election cycle. However, there's a growing number of minorities that are realizing we've got a chance to better our lives because Republicans don't care what color I am. They're giving me an opportunity. It's my duty and my job to take advantage of that opportunity. There's a growing number of people that think that way, and that scares the living daylights out of the Democrats, because the only reason they would win elections is because of the black and minority vote. And say what you want about Donald Trump. He has turned things around. He has given the minorities in this country hope. And it's all he did is just open things up. He told them, go expand your horizons. Do what you can. Be the best you can be. And ladies and gentlemen, they are. He's giving them the opportunity to work. And the minorities, the Democrats and the Republican, or the Democrats and the media, I'm sorry, would want you to believe that they're being, you know, they're lazy, that they don't want to work, and there's no jobs for them. Well, there's jobs out there, and they're taking advantage of it. And they're seeing now, wait a minute, I had this opportunity all my life, and I didn't take it? I'm an idiot. I'm voting for Trump next time. I'm voting Republican. And the Democrats are scared to death. And they're scared to death. And I'm going to segue into the first listener category, a listener response that I have for this show. This is from Shannon, and she's from Portland, Oregon. And if you've been watching the news, you have seen Portland, Seattle. that whole Washington State area, just absolute anarchy and chaos. They've been attacking federal property. They've been burning police precincts. They've taken over a certain area of the city of Seattle. And then, you know, they kill each other. Go figure. Well, former vice president, and thank you, Shannon, for emailing me and wanting to talk about this. Shannon in Portland, Oregon, she has a very firsthand account on this. And her and I went back and forth, and I asked her, what is it like in Portland? She says, Tom, honestly, it's pretty scary. I'm a Democrat. I was born and raised a Democrat. Apparently, she's like 27 years old. She said she was born and raised a Democrat, but she can't follow. She can't continue to follow what these people are doing. And she got hooked up on this show by one of her friends who lives on the East Coast. And her friend said, look, if you're confused, you need to listen to this guy, the Paranormal Patriot. He's conservative, but he'll tell you the truth. He'll tell you how it is. And she's been listening to me, and she's starting to come around. So that's when she said, Tom, I need your opinion on what exactly is going on. She gave me a story. She said, I want you to talk about this. The story was former Vice President Joe Biden called violent anarchists attacking federal property in Portland, Oregon, peaceful protesters. That was in a statement Tuesday, and it condemned President Donald Trump for sending in federal law enforcement officers. Now, I love the fact that the media and the Democrats are calling these federal officers going in to restore peace stormtroopers. Why do you think they're using the word stormtroopers? Why? Because it relates back to Nazi Germany. Now, in his statement, Biden failed to condemn the violent actions of the rioters as they attacked a federal courthouse. They vandalized it and attempted to set it ablaze. He never said anything about the fact that these rioters set fire to a police precinct. He also reported a false claim that protesters in front of the White House last month had been tear gassed and that these protesters were, in his words, attacked by the police and they assaulted journalists who were also peaceful. Now, according to Joe Biden, and this is a little lengthy statement, I can't believe he got through it without screwing up, but maybe he did. I don't know. This is all written out. But he says, we have a president who is determined to sow chaos and division, to make matters worse instead of better. We all remember the appalling scenes in front of the White House when peaceful protesters, which I don't remember them being peaceful, were gassed to make way for a Trump photo op. Not true. Let's lie about that. Now, Homeland Security agents, without a clearly defined mandate or authority, are ranging far from federal property, stripped of badges and insignia and identifying markings to detain people. They are brutally attacking peaceful protesters, including a U.S. Navy veteran. I'm sorry, if this U.S. Navy veteran was vandalizing, rioting, breaking the law, I don't care if you're a veteran or not. You're breaking the damn law. He went on to say, of course, the U.S. government has the right and duty to protect federal property. Okay, then what's the problem there, Joe? What's the problem, Sleepy Joe? You just told the country in your statement that Donald Trump was right in what he did. He is protecting federal property. He went on to say, and this is the biggest pile of crap I've ever heard, the Obama-Biden administration protected federal property across the country without resorting to this egregious tactics and without trying to stoke the fires of division in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said it for years, the most divisive president in the history of this country was Barack Obama. Think about it. In 2007, did you really think race was an issue in this country? Nope. I sure didn't. And I can guarantee you, and if you say it was, you're lying to yourself. In 2007, race was not an issue in this country. By 2010, after 2 years of the Obama-Biden administration, race had become a forefront topic in this country. All of a sudden, there was a race war. There was a division in the races, and it was all stoked by our former president, Barack Obama. Now, the local police in Portland, well, they have a different story about these quote-unquote peaceful protesters. The local police in Portland said these protesters were actually violent vandals, burglars, and arsonists. The Department of Homeland Security defended its actions in Portland yesterday as a necessary defense of federal property in the face of an action. And that's the key. This is from the DHS. They had to defend federal property in the face of an action by state and local officials. Now, this is getting to be a big, hot topic. So, in Chicago, for all my listeners in Chicago, God bless you. I pray for you every day. You are living in a war zone. Chicago is an absolute war zone. Their Mayor Lightfoot, if you've seen Grown Ups 2 with Adam Sandler, does she not look like Bumpy? If you haven't seen Grown Ups 2, go watch it and look for Bumpy. Same hairline. I mean, literally, it's in the top of her head. I have more hair, if I grew it out, than Mayor Lightfoot. Not going to mess with her physical appearance, but I'm going to call it like I see it. She has a forehead up to the top of her head, and she has bulging eyes like Ash from 90 Day Fiancé. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but Chicago's a war zone. And President Trump has now said he's bringing in federal troops to restore peace. And Mayor Lightfoot is all up in arms. This is not presidential. This is anarchy. This is overstepping his bounds. This is tyrannical. This is dictatorship. Really? Because you aren't doing anything to stop the violence. So somebody has to. I guarantee you, I know for a fact, that the residents of Chicago are tired of the shootings. If you, Mayor Lightfoot, are not going to stop the shootings, somebody has to. And if we have to resort to Old West tactics of bringing in a posse, well, so be it. Now, I wouldn't be a fan of Donald Trump going into just every city. But in situations, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not quite sure what is going on in Albuquerque. But Albuquerque was stated as needing federal troops. Detroit, I'm not sure what's happening in Detroit. I live in Michigan, and I'm not sure I see where the need for federal troops is in Detroit. But Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York, those places are nightmares. Atlanta, it's an absolute nightmare. And nobody... And just to let you know, every single one of these places is run by a Democrat mayor and a Democrat governor. And they aren't doing a thing. They are doing nothing to quell the violence, to quell the shootings, to quell the rioting, to quell the looting. They say they're peaceful protesters. Well, peaceful protesters don't burn buildings. Peaceful protesters don't shoot one another. These are not peaceful protesters. This is the Wild West, where there are no laws in these cities. America is a land of laws. If the governors and the mayors of these cities and states are not going to uphold the law, well, at that point, the federal government needs to step in. And you can sit there and say, oh, he's overstepping his bounds. Well, maybe the Democrat governors and mayors of these cities should have done their job, because obviously they're not. People are dying. Businesses are hurting. People are losing their life savings and their livelihoods. And these Democratic mayors and governors are just like, well, they're being peaceful. It's ridiculous. And again, you've got the liberals and the media saying, well, that's how this is today. You know, these people have a right to express themselves. You, and they most certainly do. They can express themselves absolutely. But when you resort to shooting people, burning buildings, burning cop cars, assaulting police officers, which is apparently the cool thing to do nowadays, at that point, you lose the moniker of peaceful protester. So Trump sent in federal troops to Portland, where Portland, according to Shannon, was an absolute war zone nightmare. It was pure anarchy. Trump said, okay, nobody's going to take care of this, really? Get them in there and restore the peace. And that they did. Now, Mayor Lightfoot, she became so pissed off when President Trump said he's sending federal troops in, she sent a letter to President Trump urging him to keep his quote-unquote secret federal agents away from Chicago. She said that the federal agents would only make Chicago less safe. Now, first question I have, is that even possible? Can you make Chicago even less safe? No. Literally, Chicago was Fallujah of a couple years ago. It is the epitome of blindness, the epitome of I don't care, the epitome of I hate Trump. so I'm not going to listen to anything he says, to say that by sending federal troops in to restore the peace in your absolutely ransacked, lawless city of Chicago, these federal agents are there to restore peace. And I guarantee you most of the people in that city will applaud them, will welcome them with open arms, except the government officials in that town, because then Trump looks good. When Trump goes in with these federal government troops and the shootings, which are literally 50 to 70 each weekend or each week, 50 to 70 people are shot in Chicago each week, an astronomical number. In New York, crime, violent crime is up 84%. Way to go, de Blasio. Let's continue to defund the police department. See what happens there. But when Trump comes in and restores peace to these cities, all that's going to do is it's going to make him look better. And the Democrats know that. And again, I love how the media and the Democrats are calling these federal agents stormtroopers. They're trying to conjure up the Nazi SS from World War II. Now, the Nazi SS were vicious. They were horrific. They were a horrific group of soldiers. These federal agents are so far away from Nazi stormtroopers, you can't even put them in the same story. They're there for one purpose: to restore order. Because these Democratic governors and the Democratic mayors will not do it themselves. They're all for the disorder. Oh, disorder makes Trump look bad. Trump's like, you know what? Fine. If you're not going to fix it, I will. And he's doing it. And people around the country are going to see, wait a minute. These governors are just letting this looting and these riots happen. And Trump's actually doing something about it. So, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she said recently, well, whether he knows it or not, Donald Trump, he will be leaving the White House despite his refusal to commit to the 2020 election results. She was speaking to MSNBC and she says there's a process and it has nothing to do with a certain occupant of the White House. And if he doesn't feel like moving, he has to be fumigated out of there. And this is after Trump, in a Fox News interview, said that they would not commit to accepting the results of the upcoming election scheduled on November 3rd. Now, I want to preface this by saying this article is from a straight liberal source. So when I say Trump said in a news or in a Fox News interview that he would not commit to accepting the results, that's not what he said. But because the liberal media manipulates everything he says, that's how it's going to be portrayed. During the MSNBC interview, Pelosi also suggested that voters, as well as the Constitution, would lead to Trump departing the office in January of 2021. Now, those remarks came after a new poll revealed that Trump was 15 points behind Joe Biden. Well, this poll comes from ABC News / Washington Post. And it was released this past Sunday, and it revealed 54% for Biden and 44% for Trump. And they say this was the fifth consecutive high-quality national poll that showed the former vice president ahead of Trump by 10 points or more. Does this not remind anyone of anything recently, like within the past 4 years, where on the day of the election in 2016, Hillary Clinton was projected to win the presidency? She had a 95% chance. I've learned over the years that polling is an absolute joke. Because here in Michigan, Biden is winning this state. But I haven't been contacted, nor have any of my friends who are conservatives. It makes me wonder, are you just doing polls in the Detroit, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor area? Because that's what it sounds like. I'm telling you right now, there is going to be a silent majority, just like there was in 2016, that are going to rise up. This silent majority doesn't like to put Trump signs in their yard. They don't want to make a noise. They just want to lay low. But when it's time to vote, they're going to vote. and they're going to come out. Now, the worry I have is this stupid mail-in voting. This mail-in voting is just, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible because why do you think the Democrats want mail-in voting? It's because it's so easy to cheat. I've said it before. I received my mail-in vote or mail-in ballot. However, it was addressed to the person that lived here 10 years ago. So how can that be? How can anybody cheat with that? Very simply. You don't think a mailman who's a Democrat and sees a Trump sign in somebody's yard sees a mail-in ballot? Nope, not going to give that to them. You don't think that's going to happen? Do you think that Trump is putting a mask on his face now? He was so opposed to it before. And for those of you jackasses that say, oh, Tom, I bet you if Trump wore a mask, you would too. Well, guess what, dumbasses? Not happening. Still not wearing a mask. I don't follow the trends. I don't follow what Trump is doing. I follow what I believe. So bite me. But anyway, Trump is now wearing a mask. And there's theories out there that maybe, just maybe, he's doing that. So he's proving a point. Come November 3rd, we can all stand in a line. If you're making masks okay to be in public, to go to Walmart, to go to whatever store you want, masks are okay if you want to vote. I think, you know, Trump is smart like that. Trump is not an idiot. That may be what he's doing, because I was shocked to see how quickly he changed his tune, but maybe this was all part of the plan. I don't know. So we got two more stories. One was from Jared from New Mexico. He said, Tom, you need to talk about this. And this one is just recent. The U.S. consulate in Houston has been ordered to be closed down by the U.S. government. Okay, no idea why. But prior to them being closed down, they were burning paperwork, classified paperwork left and right. Now, federal government, the federal agents cannot go on to the Chinese consulate because theoretically that's their land, which strikes me odd. You're in our country, but you know what? That's how it's been. Whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm a little worried. A, what prompted the U.S. government to close the Houston Chinese consulate? Nobody's saying. And why are they burning papers like it's going out of style? Well, to me, that tells me that they've got something to hide. What are they hiding? We may never know. We may never know. But Jared, thanks for the story. This just came out of nowhere and I haven't really had a chance to look into it. But let me know what you think. Jared, what is your thoughts on it? Anybody else? Andy, you're from Texas. I don't know how close you are to Houston, but what do you think? What do you think is going on? Why did they close the consulate? And what are they burning? What are they trying to get rid of? Is it just normal procedure for them to burn all their papers when they got to leave? Or are they trying to hide something? And lastly, last week before the break, I want to talk about this. Last week before the end of the show, I talked about Miss Maxwell. I don't even know how to pronounce her name, so I'm not going to. Miss Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, was arrested. She didn't kill herself. I'm just throwing that out there right now. Well, now the 20-year-old son of a United States judge was shot dead by a gunman posing as a FedEx delivery person after he answered the door of the family home. Now, these shootings occurred at the New Jersey home of U.S. District Judge Esther Salas. Now, this happened this past Sunday night. It killed her son, Daniel, and it wounded her husband. Now, here's where this whole thing gets a little interesting. Judge Salas was involved with the Jeffrey Epstein case. And now we have Miss Maxwell incarcerated, ready to spill the beans. There are conspiracy theories now that this was not just a random hit, that this was a designed ploy to make her shut the hell up, or, you know what, this will happen to you, your family, and your friends. I don't know. I mean, listen, Jeffrey Epstein supposedly killed himself while on suicide watch with cameras on him in a room where there was nothing to hang himself with, and the security guards just happened to not check on him. Oh, and by the way, the security footage, which is normally there, scot-free every hour, every minute of the day. During the time he committed suicide, just happens. Oh, the cameras weren't working then. So don't tell me that there's no controversy or conspiracy here. This was a concerted shot across the bow to Miss Maxwell. You better shut up. Well, let's see if she does. I'm curious to see what she says, what she does, because there, you know, she has names, you know, she has videos, you know, she is going to throw so many people under the bus. She's going to try and save herself. I get that. And listen, to all of you Democrats that listen to this show, yes, I agree with you. Surprise. I agree with you that it was stupid for Donald Trump to wish Miss Maxwell the best of luck. I mean, why would you put yourself in that position? You know who she is. You know what she did. There's no denying that. Why would you do that? I mean, honestly, President Trump, I stand behind you 99.9% of the time because I agree with what you're doing, but that was just stupid. That just opens up so many cans of worms. See, he was part of Epstein Island. He was on the Lolita Express. I mean, why put yourself there? Yeah, maybe that's why I'm not running in politics, because I wouldn't do anything stupid like that. But it is what it is. He said what he said, and, well, he's going to have to live with it, you know. And the scary thing is the media isn't pouncing all over this. They really should. So I consider that lucky. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to give you more listener stories that they want to talk about, and a bonus, some listener encounters with the paranormal, with cryptids. You're going to want to stick around for that. We're going to take an extra break this show because at the last segment, I want to talk about something that Sean Ryan has asked me to talk about, because honestly, I know where I stand and I'm still a little confused, but I want to know your thoughts on this. And then I'm going to give you a synopsis of what is going on in this country today. So what I need you to do is sit back, relax, open that mind, because when we come back, we're going to talk about the paranormal and the supernatural. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Stay with us. We'll be right back. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right with you. Knew the checks would bounce. In a bottle, a cheap motel. Guess I'll keep on driving.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Could be the skyline tonight. Could be the skyline tonight. Those stars in your eyes, a silhouette in the sky, a work of art in the night. Could be my skyline tonight. So dark in the light, a fingerprint, one of a kind, the horizon of mine. You could be the one that turns my world.
Okay, as I mentioned, normally I record a show on Friday or Saturday. It depends on what's going on that week. But this week, I'm recording it early. I'm leaving for up north to Quaminon Falls in Michigan. If you haven't been there, oh my gosh, you have to go up there. It's amazing. But regardless, I'm recording this on July 23rd. Well, apparently, this is the India Times, which I have no idea whether they're reputable or not. But this story comes to you from Eric in Ohio. He says, Tom, please talk about this asteroid that's coming to Earth on July 24th. Well, I looked into it. NASA warns of a huge asteroid approaching Earth on July 24th. Now, this asteroid, which is 2016 DY30, is headed in the direction of Earth at a speed of 54 kilometers per hour. But there's more. Another asteroid, Asteroid 2020 ME3, is traveling at 16,000 kilometers per hour. Now, NASA has issued a warning that a huge asteroid, which is asteroid 2020 ND, will move past Earth on July 24th. There is also information of two asteroids that are expected to, quote-unquote, whiz past our planet on Sunday, which would be the 26th of July. The two asteroids named by NASA are the 2016 DY30 and the 2020 ME3. Now, the potentially hazardous asteroids are currently defined based on parameters that measure the asteroid's potential to make threatening close approaches to the Earth. Specifically, all asteroids with a minimum orbit intersection distance of 0.05 AU, which is astronomical units, or less, are considered PHAs, which are potentially hazardous asteroids. According to NASA, asteroid 2020 ND is about 170 meters long and will be as close as 0.034 astronomical units, or which is 5,086,328 kilometers from our planet. Doesn't sound that incredibly close, but the asteroid is traveling at a great speed of 48,000 kilometers per hour. Asteroid 2016 DY30 is heading in the direction of Earth at the speed of 54 kilometers per hour, and the smaller asteroid is about 15 feet wide. I'm not a scientist. I don't work for NASA, but at 15 feet wide, I'm going to assume, and maybe this is wrong of me, but I'm going to assume that if it actually gets into our atmosphere, if it even makes it through our atmosphere, by the time it gets here, it would, if, let's just say it hits you, you would feel a bird pooping on you more than you would feel this asteroid hitting you. I'm just saying. I mean, 15 feet wide. I mean, I'm 6'2". I'm going to burn up in that atmosphere. I got to imagine a 15-foot asteroid is just going to be nothing when it's done. So, hey, keep an eye out in the skies. Do I think it's anything to worry about? No. How many times lately are we hearing, oh, this asteroid's coming. Oh, this asteroid's going to be close. One of them's going to hit us. I gave you, oh gosh, I don't even know how long it was. I gave you a prediction years ago, or months and months and months ago, that I believe it was 2023 in early December, we may be impacted by an asteroid. That was my prediction. I did some scientific calculations and looked at these asteroids and their rotation or their orbit, and there is an asteroid, I don't even remember the name now, but there is an asteroid that may possibly come in contact with the planet in December of, I believe it was 2023. Honestly, I don't care because I don't want to know. If I'm going to go out in a ball of flames, just let it hit and just, woo, there I go. Now, something else, and this is from John from Los Angeles, California. John, thanks for listening. Something unknown is floating around in outer space. Astronomers have discovered four mysterious objects that appear to be circular and brighter along the edges. Now, this study by astronomers reported that the mysterious sighting of the four ring-shaped object that they dubbed odd radio circles, or ORCS, for short, are mysterious figures speculated to be linked to distant galaxies. Now, the new paper outlines several theories for the creation of the, we'll just call them orcs. I'm a big D&D fan, so we'll call them orcs. The new paper outlines several theories for the creation of the orcs that scientists and astronomers propose, but none seem to fit exactly what is going on with these four objects. Now, they've ruled out objects like supernovas, planetary nebulae, and star-forming galaxies. These astronomers speculated that the mysterious figures could represent a spherical shockwave from an extragalactic event or from a radio galaxy. Now, it's not a UFO. It's not supernatural in any way, shape, or form. John, thank you for sending that story. And let me tell you my thoughts on it, because John wanted to know my thoughts. Okay, my thoughts are, we don't know anything. We as a human race have no idea what is going on out in outer space, let alone deep in our oceans. How many times during the course of a week do you read an article that says this changes everything we know about such and such? We are constantly learning about the world around us. The world around us does not include space. There are things that we can't even fathom what is going on in space. We know what we know, if that makes sense to you. We know what we think are the limits of the physical world. Physics, quantum physics. We know what we think we know. But does that mean that that is the correct answer? Because our knowledge is severely limited by what we know around us. You know, we know that gravity exists. That's how we stay on this planet. Do we really know how it works? Or are we speculating? Because I would not be surprised to see a report come out anytime and say, well, we were wrong about how gravity works. Because every single day there's a story that comes out and says, yeah, this finding changes the course of human history. It changes what we've known for years and decades and generations. You know, you find all these archaeological digs that are finding things that make no sense, and it changes the course of human history. And we use that term so lightly. We just put it in there and put it in any article because it sounds so dramatic and so great. Well, it is dramatic. Because what we think we knew is no longer the case, so now we have to completely revamp what we thought we knew and change it to what we now know. And that changes everything how we thought previously and how we were taught. We think we know everything as a human race. We are so intelligent. I'm going to tell you right now, we're imbeciles. We don't know squat. And to sit there and say, we are the most intelligent species, the most intelligent beings in the galaxy. Come on, guys. That is an insult to every other amoeba out in any other planet. Because I'm telling you, the human race is stupid. We are dense. We are imbeciles. Any race that continues to kill each other and continues to fight over a planet that we don't own. We just live here. We're not intelligent. Until we are able to go above and beyond the fact that we don't want to kill each other. We're all one. I mean, we're all one species. Come on. We are going to continue to just go down this tailspin of, well, we know what we know until we don't know that. And that's where we are every day. Every day we think we know how this works. And then we find out, whoa, that's not how that works. We're going to change this. So we don't know anything. And that's why I wanted to give that story, because we don't know a thing. We think we know how space works. We think we know about black holes. We think we know about planetary nebulae and radio galaxies. We only know what we've put into our heads. What we put into our heads is probably not how it works, not true. But we'll continue to lie to ourselves, and we'll continue to teach that as this gospel, and, you know, we'll continue to be dumbed down. So let's talk about the Schumann resonance. This one is from Jody in Tennessee, who has been following this show for a long time, and she says, Tom, I've been listening to your show for a long time. I really like the segments about the magnetic field. She says, I completely agree with you that something is going on with the magnetic field. It's weakening and it's moving at a faster rate. Well, she sent me an article and said, Tom, please talk about this on your show because people need to know about this. And what it was revolving around is the Schumann resonance. Now, the Schumann resonance, for those of you who don't know, it measures the electromagnetic field of the planet. And in the last 2 months, it has substantially increased. Now, researchers cannot find a logical reason for this. Now, according to scientists, the Earth's displacement is happening faster than expected. To these experts, this means that the planet is about to pass through a great moment of transition, something that will involve all humans. Now, I don't know who these experts are, but I can guarantee you they're not scientists. scientists don't go into the great moment of transition. The Schumann resonance has been a natural and constant frequency of planet Earth. It pulsates at exactly 7.83 hertz, and it's been doing that for thousands of years. For the ancient Indian Rishis, this number had been a special meaning. That 7.83 hertz had special meaning. It was considered sacred and cosmic sound of the Hindu religion. Now, for the Western world, the Schumann resonance represents the frequency of the Earth's magnetic field. It was always concentrated at 7.83 hertz with few variations since 1952. That all changed in June 2014. That is when a Russian space observatory system showed a sudden increase in activity with a varied elongation from 8.5 hertz to 16.5 hertz. Now, keep that in mind. For thousands of years, with every now and then having a slight variation, the Schumann resonance recorded 7.83 hertz. In June 2014, that 7.83 jumped from 8.5 hertz to 16.5 hertz. Now, these researchers were amazed at these values, something that they have never recorded that way. More recently, other peaks have been detected, increasing the planet's frequency to more than 30 hertz. It has been concluded that these changes clearly show that the planet is changing. Now, some scholars also believe that humans, when acting on a collective consciousness level, can affect the structure of the magnetic field. Now, this speculation is based on the fact that the Schumann's frequency is, quote-unquote, in tune with the human brain states of alpha and theta. These increasing resonances correspond to the activity of human brain waves, which means that the Earth would be adjusting its frequency of vibration. This may be an explanation for the strange feeling we have had that time is passing more quickly. I've told you that numerous times, that time is flying by. And it may be because I'm getting older, but time is flying by, and I've heard it from many of my listeners that, yeah, I agree. Time is moving faster. I can't put my finger on it, but it is moving faster. The reason for that is apparently linked to the excess speed of the Schumann resonance. And that makes us feel like a 24-hour period is approximately 16 hours. And time is not our only notion of acceleration. Today, access to information and increased world awareness also influence our sense of time. Now, there is no denying whatsoever that the magnetic field is changing. I've said it before, I don't think we're going to have a pole shift, which is a devastating planetary collapse. And I mean, it's an extinction level event. If North and South Pole physically flip, we're all dead. But the magnetic pole can flip. And really, the only thing that happens there is the GPS, the functions, maybe the weather patterns change a little bit. We still survive. But is the magnetic field corresponding to the increase in human consciousness? There is no doubt that there is an increase in the number of people that are starting to look into the metaphysical side, the esoteric side of their lives. And what that means is it's spiritual, but it's not really religious. It's more of we are eternal, to the point that the universe, we go back to the universe, we were created by the universe, and everything is connected. The universe is connected to our consciousness. Metaphysical and esoteric basically means we are here on Earth in a shell. Our body is a shell. We chose to be here, and we chose to be here at this time. Why, I don't know. But we chose to be here. But we have a shell that's our body. Some bodies look better than others. Mine looks like a beached whale, but we won't get into that. But we are just, our outward bodies are just our physical bodies. Inside of us is an electric energy that is our, some people call it a soul, some people call it a spirit, call it what you want. That is who we really are. And when we pass from this life, we move on, and if we have done what we needed to do, because esoteric and metaphysical, call it religion, call it what you want, call it a belief system, but it's all about moving up the chain. You know, right now, where we are, where you're listening to me from, we're in the third dimension. There are numerous dimensions above us. There's a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth, a ninth, a tenth. Those are, as you ascend these dimensions, you become more enlightened. And when we pass on from this world, we are either going to come back and finish what we needed to, or we're going to move up. We are eternal. I am a firm believer in that. And you can call it heaven. You can call it Shangri-La. You can call it whatever you want. But we are eternal. Our physical bodies, which you see every day around everywhere you go, they're not. They're not eternal. They are temporary. But what matters is the soul, the energy, the spirit, because that lives forever. Energy, which we are an energetic electrical being. Our brains send electrical signals to synapses and neurons, and that causes us to smile, to frown, to clench our fist, to give another one a high five. Every muscle movement we do is generated by an electrical impulse inside of our brain. Think about that. How amazing is that? And that is generated from our spirit, from our soul. We are energy. Ladies and gentlemen, energy cannot be dissipated or destroyed. It just changes. So when we move on from this earthly plane, and we are spiritual beings living a physical life, essentially. I've seen that bumper sticker and I love it. But when we move on from this physical plane where we are now in the third dimension of the planet Earth, we change in we change into a different energy form. Now, what that is, I don't know. I haven't done it yet. But there is a vast number of people getting into the metaphysical, the esoteric, what a lot of people would call the quote-unquote occult. The occult is not a bad thing. The occult is different from the religions we know about today. We don't necessarily worship God. We don't necessarily worship Jesus, but we believe in a God, and we believe that there is a prophet named Jesus, but we believe in God as the universe, and the universe provides us what we need. So if we pray, we can call it God. We can say, God, please grant me this prayer. It's going to the universe. That's what esoteric, that's what metaphysical is, and it's kind of enlightening. So, I'm getting really long on this show. I'm going to cut this a little short here. I'm going to give you two listener accounts of cryptids. One of them was from my home state of Michigan. Now, this listener by the name of Paul, he sent me an email, and he's from Manistee. He said, Tom, this didn't happen to me, but I really think you should read this. This happened to a friend of mine. And he wrote it down for me because he was so afraid to talk about it. Again, this is not from Paul. This was an encounter that was written out to Paul from his friend who he did not give his name. He didn't want to give his name. But it started off that this guy lives in the northwest side of Michigan in Manistee. He was in his mid-teens when this originally happened. It was at night. His bed was on one wall with a big window on the opposite side. He was on the first floor of the house. They lived on a hill, so it was slanted and still pretty high window, which was about 9 feet off the ground. So in other words, this man or child or boy, whatever you want to call it, I don't know how old he was, mid-teens, I guess he'd be a teenager. This teenager lived in a house, slept on the first floor. His bed was on one wall. And then it looked out to the window. Well, the window was 9 feet off the ground because they lived on a slanted hill. He says, anyway, I woke up one Saturday night feeling really thirsty. It was about 2 a.m. and everyone else in my family was asleep. I was about to crawl out of my bed and go to the bathroom just down the hall when I looked at the window and I froze. At the very bottom of the window, there was a really dark shape. It looked kind of like the top part of a timberwolf's head. It was a big thing, with two points that looked like ears on the top. I couldn't make out any other features. So while I was still scared, at first I thought it was just a reflection of something in the room. But then it moved. You know how dogs twitch their ears and perk them up when they're trying to hear better? That's what this thing did. The two points that I took for ears twitched and then came back into place. And it wasn't a subtle movement at all, so I knew it wasn't a reflection. I immediately thought of the dogman accounts I had heard from my area. I got really, really scared then. So I did the typical thing a kid would do, and I pulled the covers over my head and went back to sleep without getting my water. In the morning, I went outside by the window and noticed disturbed ground, like a man or something on two legs had been standing there. No shoe prints, but what was there looked like elongated wolf prints. There were no marks on the side of my house. The thing that really stumps me is wondering how anything would manage to stay up by a window that's 9 feet off the ground in the first place. He went on to say, after all these years, I have caught a glimpse of a tall biped canine on two occasions. The most recent was a few weeks ago, as I was in the yard mowing the grass and I saw it moving through the woods. I am terrified that this creature may be stalking the family. He wanted to know, Tom, have you heard of a similar encounter in this area? And I'm going to tell you, Paul, Manistee. I live in Michigan. I know where Manistee is. It's the northern part of Michigan. They're all over. There are accounts of quote-unquote dogmen all over. Do I believe that this friend of yours may have encountered a dogman? Very, very well possible. The problem is we may never know. The legends of wolfmen and dog-like creatures walking on two legs, they have been around since the Middle Ages. And I'm a firm believer that these aren't just legends. These aren't just myths. These are things people actually saw, actually encountered, and they wrote down what they saw. Yes, you're going to have some fabrications. I get that. But usually, if you have a fabrication, let's say you saw a winged donkey with a dragon's tail. Just pulling that out of my head. But let's say there is an account of that, and people started seeing a winged donkey with a dragon's tail. If it wasn't real, it would just die out. That's how it works. People forget about it. People don't see it. People don't report it. But when you look into Mothman, when you look at the Jersey Devil, when you look at Bigfoot, when you look at, I don't know, Dogman, these are stories that continue over generations to be told, and people continue to see them. Not everybody's a kook. Not everybody's looking for the 15 minutes of fame. Honestly, most people don't want to report what they've seen. And a lot of times it's misidentification. Upright canines could be wolves. They have been known to walk for a little bit on their hind legs. Some people may be seeing a bear with mange. I don't know, but there's a lot of truth to what a lot of people are seeing. So before this next break, I want to talk to you about something that has infatuated me for years. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know I am absolutely infatuated with black-eyed kids. So this report that I'm about to go over with you is sent to me by Dylan from West Virginia. He says, Tom, love the show. I really want you to talk about this because this is in my home state. I've never encountered them, but in doing research on the paranormal, this popped up and it scared the living daylights out of me. I've heard you talk about it. I want your thoughts on it. So this is what he came across. A young man is awakened by his doorbell at 2:30 a.m. He's wondering who it could be since he lived in a gated community. He was met at the door by two black-eyed kids, and this is his story. I've never heard of black-eyed kids until I encountered them. Still not knowing what or who the hell they were, I did what any modern young man would do. I Googled them. I was shocked that I wasn't the only one that had encountered this entity. Had I not seen them for myself, I would have thought it was just a modern urban legend gone viral. Besides my girlfriend, I've only told only my brother, who is into everything creeping horror. I'm an accountant. My girlfriend and I live in a small gated community in southern West Virginia called Glade Springs. The community has about 150 houses, a country club, a steakhouse slash bar called Bunkers. Now, anyone can come through the gate during the business hours, but after they close, the front security gate stops all traffic and makes sure you are a resident. If you're a visitor, they call the house that you're going to verify that they're actually expecting them. Sometimes it's a hassle, but hey, you don't have to worry about a robbery. So imagine my surprise when my doorbell chimed at 2:30 a.m. I was jarred awake and wasn't sure if it was just a dream, considering I just went to bed shortly before. I rolled over and looked at the clock, noticing the time, and when my doorbell chimed again, I felt a cold chill run through my body. Not reading much into it, it could be one of the neighbors, maybe they had an emergency, right? I nonchalantly made my way to the door. Now I see how foolish I really was, and I opened it. Luckily, the wrought iron storm door was still locked, because who or what stood before me was not a resident of the community. Two young boys stood at my doorstep, one looking about 17, the other looking about 10. Both were wearing dark hooded sweatshirts and jeans. The young one had shaggy, dirty blonde hair and would only look down at the stone steps, and the older one, he had his hood pulled and his head tipped to where I could only see half of his nose down. My voice caught in my throat, and before I could even ask what they wanted, the older one spoke. His voice sounded forced and dry. There was no emotion or sincerity, and what he said is, "I'm sorry to bother you and your girlfriend, but we need to come in and use your phone. We've been in an accident." I felt that familiar chill return to my whole body. How did he know my girlfriend was here? I wrote it off as my Tahoe and her VW were in the driveway, and I figured they just assumed. I tripped over my words. Something about these kids wasn't right, wasn't normal, wasn't human. I can bring you my cell phone and you can call. I don't get service inside here, so you have to stand on the sidewalk to call. I finally said to him nervously, and I of course I was lying through my clenched teeth. I did not want these kids in my home. The older one said, "Well, my brother really needs to use your bathroom, Chuck. We have to come in." And that's when I went into complete panic. He knew my name. I'm sorry, are you from here? How did you know my name?" The words practically shook out of my mouth. That's when he became slightly hostile and demanded to be let inside. And I told him that I was sorry, but I couldn't help them. And just as I was about to close the main door is when it happened. The both of them snapped their heads upwards and looked me straight in the eyes. Black. No iris, no pupil, no retina, just pure, deep black. I was paralyzed with fear. For a second, I thought these kids were just playing a really cruel joke and had snuck into the community somehow and had bought these freaky supernatural demon contacts. That is when I heard ringing. It was like a ringing sound that you hear when you're having a hearing test done. And then the flashback started. That's when everything went black. The next thing I knew, I was shaken awake, lying in the mudroom floor, my girlfriend standing over me with a worried look. "What the hell, Chucky?" Sorry, whenever I hear Chucky, I think of the redhead demon doll from the Chucky movies in the 80s. Sorry. "What the hell, Chucky?" she asked. I had no idea how to answer her. My head had taken a good whack against the slate floor, and a bit of dried blood was stuck in my hair, but other than that, I was fine physically. I slowly remembered everything that had happened and looked at the door. Daylight. I've never been so happy to see the morning in all my life. I told my girlfriend everything that happened and honestly think she thought I had brain damage from hitting the floor, but she insisted she believed me. And then we Googled it. And I believe that's when she really started to believe me. is when she saw all the accounts that people were having on Google. I don't know who, I don't know what they were, or where they came from, but they're not of this world. I know that for a fact. For some reason, I had a lingering thought, I'm still not sure if they put it in my head or not, that they wanted me to know that even my memories aren't safe. They are very strong, and they seem to be growing in numbers. For some reason, they seem not to be able to hurt you physically unless you invite them in. But they can get in your mind. Since that night, I feel as though I'm being watched. I see them out of the corner of my eye occasionally. I look at my girlfriend while we're at the movies or dinner, and her eyes would be solid black for a split second. And worst of all, they took one of my most precious and most often reminisced memories and turned it into something similar. Something that's now a constant reminder of the black-eyed kids. Yeah, this is exactly what black-eyed kids do. They try to get into your home. This gentleman nailed it perfectly, absolutely perfectly, when he said, it doesn't seem that they can hurt you physically until you let them in. That's a common thread. They seem to be able to read your mind. They know things about you that you wouldn't expect them to know. They're very, very scary, very, very terrorizing, and they are just very demanding. I'm a big believer in black-eyed kids. I mean, too many people have seen these and had encounters with them. It's not a craze. It's not an urban legend. These things exist. What they are, I have no idea. I hope I never deal with them. We do a lot of camping. We do a lot of camping in state campgrounds. We haven't been to the national parks yet, but the national parks seem to be a haven for these black-eyed kids. I don't know why. So if I see one, if I can talk about it, I will tell you. But until then, let's just stick with the stories that we're given because they scare the living daylights out of me. Okay, we're going to break off from what I normally do. Normally, I only have one break, but I want to do one more because I want to talk to you about something that Sean Ryan asked me. And I got to get into something Brandon mentioned. I got to talk about that in the next segment. We're going to take one more quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what is going on in retail per Brandon. And Sean Ryan asked a question that I need to know your answer. So what I need you to do is sit back, open that mind, because we're going to come back and I'm going to ask you a question. I really need to know the answer because I don't have the answer. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. And I lost so many there. Daddy, he was waiting finally without a care. He told me to have faith, faith that could return. He told me I'd be back. August 27th through the 29th, 2020, the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society, the Sioux Events Incorporated, and Kewadin Casino are very proud to present the largest paranormal gathering of its kind in the Midwest. The 11th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention will yet again bring the biggest names of the paranormal industry to Michigan's oldest city, Sault Ste. Marie. The convention is held at the Kewadin Casino's Dreammakers Theater. Experts and television stars will be on hand to cover such topics as paranormal investigating, psychic abilities, demonology, and ufology. Convention goers will be able to meet some of their favorite television paranormal investigators. So join them for 2.5 days as the biggest names in the industry speak on today's hottest topic, the paranormal. Again, August 27th through 29th, 2020, at the Kewadin Casinos, the 11th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention.
Self-destruct is what we do when we're together, me and you. We're so in love, but out of touch with all the damage we could do. What we had.
All right, we're going to make this last segment quick. Not that I don't think it's important, but I am way over what I usually do. Maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't know. But to finish off the show, Brandon, one of my great listeners, Brandon, you've sent a ton of information to me. He contacted me via Messenger, and he said, "Hey, Tom, did you see Walmart's closing Thanksgiving?" And I said, "I did." He wants to know if what I think, do other retailers, are other retailers going to follow suit? And I'm going to tell you right now, absolutely. Absolutely. This has nothing to do. Listen, my wife used to work at Walmart when she was healthy and could work. Thanksgiving was insane busy. Insane. It would be stupid for them to close Thanksgiving if they didn't feel the need to. Why are they closing for Thanksgiving? It's all the hype. I just got word this day that Santa's Village 2020 in December has been shut down. They're not going to have it this year. We're in July. Almost August, but we're in July. Don't tell me that there isn't a plan in place. This is all about destroying the economy. It's all about it. Walmart is straight in the middle of it. They are lock, stock, and barrel, following government orders, following the Democrats, following the media. So I'm sure the Democrats or the media said, don't open on Thanksgiving. So they'll open Black Friday. Now, I know what some of you are going to say is, well, they'll just make up the money on Black Friday. No, they won't. I know for a fact, as I mentioned before, I worked retail management for, let's see, I started in 97 and worked until, I started in 94 and worked until 2012. I worked a ton of years in retail management to the point I can't even remember because it's all blurry now. But I'm telling you right now, people don't get up early for Black Friday if they don't have to, especially nowadays because they can go on the internet. They don't have to get up at the butt crack of dawn, stand in line when it's cold. Here in Michigan, it's cold. And hopefully get what they came in for. Because they only have a certain amount of people that can get a certain amount of product. When they can stay on or get up, maybe 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, go on Amazon.com, in the comfort of their own bed. So this is going to hurt the economy. Now people, yes, you could do the same thing on Thanksgiving, but trust me, from a first-hand experience, I live in Owosso, Michigan, small town in Owosso. We do have a Walmart. That place was inundated Thanksgiving night. And it's all due to hysteria. It's all due to the government control. Sean Ryan, who has been all over my Paranormal Patriot page. Sean, thank you so much. He wanted me to talk about schools this year, and I thought that was a very, very appropriate subject until I tried to kind of do an outline for it. And I realized I don't know whether or not I'm for going back to school or not. Listen, here in Michigan, they're going to be forced to wear masks if they go back. First graders, second graders, third graders, fourth graders, hell, you can even say seniors in high school. They're not going to wear their masks all day. They're just not. Masks are uncomfortable. They're not going to wear their masks all day. I am in a dilemma right now. Sean, I want you to know what you're going to do with your kids, and this is the Paranormal Patriot question of the week. What are you doing with your kids this school season? First off, are you going back? Is your school going to have in-person learning? Mine is, it's my kids' school is so wishy-washy, it's not even funny. One minute they are, next minute they're not. Now they're saying yes, but the kids are going to wear masks. They're going to be 6 feet apart on the bus. There's going to be social distancing on the bus. So buses are going to be running essentially all day. There are some kids that are going to get picked up so late from their bus, they're not going to get home from school until 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. I don't like that. You know, I like the traditional way of doing things. Pick them up at 7:30, get them home at 3, That's a good learning day. I honestly, I don't know what to do. My kids and your kids, they need face-to-face learning. I don't know how you did in your virtual school in your neck of the woods, but here in Corunna, in Owosso, it was a joke. And it, and no fault to the teachers. They were thrown into this. The teachers had no idea what to do. Now, maybe after a summer of getting the ropes and learning the ropes and getting everything in order, maybe the virtual school will be better. But I'm going to tell you right now, from March until June, my kids learned nothing. There are stats out there that 75% of the kids never even logged in, never did any homework. So from March 15th, I think it was, when they closed school, up until now, the kids haven't been learning. And it's going to hurt them. I mean, literally, these kids need to repeat the grade that they just should have finished. So that would mean my sophomore, who's a junior this year, theoretically should go back to being a sophomore. And my youngest should go back to the grade that he was in. It's just, they lost so much. And again, no disrespect to the teachers, but there was no learning going on there. It was basically, who wants to show up? Hey, you showed up. You get a P for pass. There was no testing. Very few learning objects. It was basically, hey, read this. And whether you did or not, nobody knew. Because it was moving on to the next phase. So hopefully, if we do virtual, if we do have to go virtual, maybe they've had enough time to realize that, okay, this is what we got to do. This is how we're going to collect homework. We're going to do this to see if they're learning what we're teaching them. I don't know whether I want to send the kids to school. Not that I'm afraid of the coronavirus. I'm honestly not. But I think I'm doing them a disservice by sending them somewhere where they're going to be so uncomfortable. And I don't know what to do. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you're doing with your kids. Give me some feedback. Give me some guidance. Are you going to send your kids back to school this year? Are you going to have them learn virtually? Are you going to do homeschool? Are you going to do charter school? Get out of the public school system. Give me some options. Let me know where you stand. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Now, lastly, I have a listener by the name of Richard who lives in Texas. And he hit the nail on the head, because every week I get people asking me, Tom, why are you such a conspiracy theorist? Why do you think the government is really trying to control everything you do? Do you really think that? And the answer is yes. Richard, good friend of mine, knew him when he lived in Michigan. Now he's down in Texas. He sent me an article, or a post, I guess it would be, that sums up why I believe that this is a power grab by the government. Some people are not going to see it. Most people are not. But when you read this, when you hear this, it makes sense. So I'm going to end the show on this. You may have seen this posted before, and maybe not. If you haven't, even if you have, you need to listen to this, because it rings 100% true. And this is exactly why I am opposed to what is going on around the country now. It starts off, it's just a mask. It's just a vaccine. It goes on to say, in 4 months, the United States transformed into an obedient socialist country. Government dictated what events are acceptable to attend. Violent protests that instill fear are okay, but church services, family funerals, and patriotic celebrations are dangerous. And you bought it without a fight. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard. Small businesses were forced to close, but crowds to support the corporate money machine at Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot, well, they're okay. Come on, it's just a mask and safety precautions. How about a little hush money? Here's $2,400 that we stole out of your paycheck in the first place. Enjoy it. Buy something with it. buy something from a big corporation. Cash is dirty. We can't give change anymore. There's a coin shortage. Use your card. In 4 months, they convinced you to use a traceable card for every purchase you made. In less than 4 months, our government has closed public schools, then restructured education under the guise of public safety. In less than 4 months, our government demonstrated how easily people assimilate to guidelines that have no scientific premise whatsoever when you are fearful. In less than 4 months, our government successfully instilled a fear in the majority of the population in America that allows them to control every aspect of your life, including what you eat, where you go, who you see, and of course, your toilet paper. And the most dangerous and terrifying part? People are not afraid of the government who removed their freedoms. They're afraid of their neighbors, friends, and family. And they hate those who will not comply. It's absolutely terrifying to me that so many people don't question quote-unquote authority. They are willing to surrender their critical thinking skills and independence. They just gave up without thinking, without a fight. Do you know what's coming next? In this, I've been telling every single one of people I talk to, this is the next step. You can't go into a store. You can't go into a sporting event. You can't go into a concert. You can't go anywhere without a mask. Let's substitute mask for vaccine. What's coming next? It's just a vaccine. Come on, it's for the greater good. Wait until you're told that you can't enter any store or business without proof of the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait until you can't go to public events or get on a plane without proof of receiving the vaccine. Do you not believe that this is possible? If you don't believe it, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself if you think this behavior won't be repeated with a vaccine. I don't follow politics. Who cares about this stuff? I don't like to think about it. They got you. They got you without a thought. They got you without a fight. Just like France, just like Russia, just like China. Welcome, comrade. This is, listen, people get on me all the time for bashing Governor Whitmer. She's not overextending her authority. She's doing what's best for this state. No, she's not. She's not doing what's best for the state. Nor is anyone in our government, really, if you think about it. We are the last free nation on this planet. And we are at the precipice. We are at the cliff's edge of falling into a socialist regime. We have so many people that say, that's where we need to go. The younger generation, they've been indoctrinated to think that making money is evil. You shouldn't make money. If you own a business, the whole point of that business is to break even. No, it's not. I'm going to go back to what I said in the first part of the show. You have every opportunity to better yourself. It's up to you to do so. The difference between socialism and capitalism is one big thing. In socialism, if you're on the bottom, you're going to stay on the bottom. In capitalism, if you're on the bottom, if you choose to change the way you do things and you choose to work your behind off, you will rise up and you will make yourself a better life. Look at Venezuela. I mean, honestly, people, that is the epitome of what modern socialism is, because I hear all the time from these liberals and these Democrats, well, you know, socialism has changed. This socialism works. Well, quote unquote, this socialism has been tried in Venezuela. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the same socialism as was in Soviet Russia, in China, North Korea, Cuba. Wherever there's been a socialist regime, it's the same damn thing. Those in government positions and high authority positions living
life to the fullest. The rest of the 95 to 98% of the people are killing their cats and killing their dogs so they can eat. What do you want to do? Now, the generation coming up, yes, they will want to sit back and receive a government paycheck and just live as low-key and smoke as much weed and drink as much booze and do the least amount that they can. But there is a portion of that generation that wants more. And that portion is waking up more every day. I would sincerely like to thank everyone that contributed to this show. Sean, Jared, Paul, Brandon, among others. I didn't get to everybody because the show ran really long, but hey, I thank you. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. I'm going to post this show early. I hope everybody enjoys it. I'm going to be gone all next week. I'll be back probably Friday or Saturday, post a show for next week. I don't want to miss a week. The times are too important. So thank you for listening to this week's show of the Paranormal Patriot. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you learned something. I hope you learned something that you can tell your liberal friends. This is the truth. Contact me with any thoughts, any comments, any show ideas, anything you want to promote on this show. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thanks for listening this week. I will be back next week. Love and do.
Took a sip and was flirting with your cocktail of poison.